of life. Bobby came home from school. He was 6 years old, and he said, "Mom, look at my head. Oh, you have a big bump. How did you get that? Did you get in a fight with somebody? Did somebody hit you?" She says, "Never mind. Let me get an ice pack, and I'll put it on." Bobby, back towards his bedroom, says, Mom, let's give Jesus a chance, shall we?" And so she waited a few moments and said, "Come on, Bobby, I got to put an ice pack on that, please." And then he came out, Mom, we got to give Jesus a chance to take care of my bump." Well, the thing is, on the road of life, that saying is true. We need to give Jesus a chance to take care of the bumps that come along in our life. Amen? All right, let's look, beginning in Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. "Father, in Jesus' name, your anointing upon the word to each and every one of our hearts and lives. May it speak to us. May it challenge us. May it motivate us, Lord, so that we can go out into this world and face the world with confidence, knowing that you are there for us every step of the way. Amen." Matthew 5, 10 through 12. "Those who are treated badly for doing good are happy, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. People will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do, you will be happy. Rejoice and be glad, because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did the same evil things to the prophets who lived before you." Now I want to read James 1, verse 2 through 4 from the Message Bible. "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." Now, some of you may be saying, "I'm sure glad you're talking about pressure, because I'm just barely able to hold on. I've been under it so much lately." Well, the truth of the matter is that life was designed that way. Many people get married under the myth that the minute you find the right person, everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be beautiful from then on. You'll never have a problem. But then after you've been married for a while, you wake up and say, "Something must be wrong, because our marriage is not going as smooth as I thought it should." Well, I want you to know that's a pretty good indication that you are normal, because life was never meant to run smooth. You see, the challenge of life is to overcome difficulties. The challenge of life is to learn to live and overcome the pressures. And life is much like marriage. It was never designed for you and I to be able to live on one even plane all the time. Even the victorious Christian life is designed for us to learn how to live in the surrounding problems and pressures that come against us and still be happy and filled with joy. I'm going to show you that that is exactly what the Word of God teaches us and how to handle the pressures of life. All of us know something about the pressures of life. In fact, all of us at some time or another have had various pressures come to us. Now let's read in James 1:1. "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad, greetings." Now James is writing to a group of people that were dispersed. They had been scattered everywhere. They were under a great deal of persecution, and they were under a great deal of danger and had some real problems. Then James begins in verse 2 to say this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for real joy." Let me ask you, have you ever had troubles lately? You don't have to raise your hands, but there are troubles and problems and pressures that come. We have to understand that. So let's look at several points this morning. Number one, to handle pressure, you need to prepare your attitude. Let me say that again. To handle pressure, you need to prepare your attitude, and the Bible tells us exactly how to do it with the word consider. Literally, it comes from a word that has two parts. It means in the sense of looking ahead. Also, it's the word to think forward. Now, most of you are gifted in doing that. Did you realize that? You already are gifted at doing what the Bible says. To consider, to think forward. Let me show you how that's done. Oh, you may say, I don't dare to do that because if I do, such and such may happen. Well, let's take for an illustration. You say, man, I'd love to buy a brand new big pickup, either a Dodge, a Ford, or a Chevy. But if I do, you know, the gas prices could keep going up. So what you're doing here is you're thinking forward. When you think like that, you're projecting your thoughts into the future. But that's not the way the Bible wants you to think forward. The Bible says once again in James 1:2, the New International Version, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. So, the first thing you need to prepare in order to be able to undergo trials, persecution, troubles, problems, and handle all kinds of pressures is you need to prepare your attitude and begin to think forward so that you are like Jesus. Remember, Jesus is our example. How many know that? Okay, let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards, and now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. Now, Jesus is thinking forward because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. So you ask Pastor Lee, do you mean to tell me that Calvary, the cross, was a joy, a blessed thing, not on your life? Jesus didn't quit thinking about Calvary, but he was moving beyond Calvary in his thought to the day when he would purchase redemption for us and be seated in the right hand of the Father. The Amplified Version says, he endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. That's why Jesus said, blessed, happy are you when people insult you, say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake, they lie about you. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad. Listen, the happiness and the joy wasn't because of the cross. Jesus was bearing up under the pressures of the cross in order that one day, he might enjoy sitting at the right hand of the Father, knowing he had bought redemption for all of us and mankind down through the centuries that would commit their life to Jesus and be saved. People would be changed. People would be delivered and healed and restored. So the Bible is saying, consider it all joy. Think forward, project your thinking that God in his providence has allowed this pressure to happen to you for a reason. The problems that you face, he's going to work in and through your life to bring out joy from that situation. Because I want you to understand that God has his hand on you. God has his eye on you. And God's not going to let anything happen to you that doesn't eventually bring you into his presence. But you know, our minds so often do not exercise that kind of thinking. But many times in our life, a negative thinking will prevail and we'll say, well, why did God send this on me? As though God did when God didn't. Or why has the Lord allowed this to happen to me? If he loved me, he wouldn't allow that. But let me tell you the truth, God does love you and has loved you. And he has nothing but good in mind for you, but he wants to prove himself to you so you do have pressures and trials and troubles that come your way. And that word for testing there, the word trial, okay? Now, look at James 1:12 in the Good News Bible. You'll see that up there. Listen to this. Happy is the person who remains faithful under trials, because when he succeeds in passing such a test, he will receive as his reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. Now, I want you to understand that it doesn't mean to consider it all joy when you fall into testings, which is a pull towards evil. but consider it all joy when you fall under various trials. It's the outside. It's the external pressure that comes upon you, and you're pulled downward, or you're put in a situation to bear up under it. The Bible says, consider it all joy. Look forward. Look beyond what's happening to you, and realize that God has allowed this to happen to you for a purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I want you to know that in that, God's going to work it out so that ultimately there will be great joy and his purpose will be fulfilled in your life. Whether it's sickness, whether it's your children, a teenager, your job, your finances, marriage problems, or as a young purpose, being ridiculed on campus for your faith in Jesus Christ, or pressure from the unsaved parent or a spouse. Whatever that trial, whatever that trauma in your life, right now in the past or may arise in the future, God is bigger than any problem you may face. And you need to grab a hold of that. Because it's an opportunity for joy when you look beyond that pressure, when you look beyond that trouble, or whatever comes your way, when you realize that through this, God has promised fulfillment, he has promised victory, and in the end, he has promised joy. Amen? Hear me. Whatever that may be, don't be fatalistic in your attitude. Look forward, consider. And when James says consider, he's talking about being positive in your attitude, not fatalistic. Listen, as I said, God is bigger than any pressure you may face. So look forward to what God has for you. Now, if you don't look at it like that, you're ultimately thinking towards doom and despair, gloom and agony on me. Remember that old saying? Gloom, despair, agony on me. You know, excessive misery. Do you look at life like that? The pressure in itself is enough, but a fatalistic mind makes it even worse. Also, you need to know what God wants out of your life, and you need to know what you want out of life and believe God for it as you stand in the authority of the Word. Understand again, let me repeat, Jesus was looking forward to the cross, but beyond the cross, because he wanted redemption for mankind, and ultimately, no matter what, he was going to bear up under it. He was going forth in victory that you and I may have eternal life and be overcomers in this life and face the pressures and problems with faith and confidence that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Now, if you're going to handle pressure, you got to prepare your attitude in a positive way. So let me emphasize again, get rid of the negative things that come in your mind. Be persistent. Consider pure joy. Now the word joy in James 1:2 is the same as the word in Hebrews 12:2 when it talks about Jesus. He was looking forward with joy. He was persistent, knowing that there was going to be joy. Now, you know, we have examples in the Old Testament. Look at Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he's put to test, well, the testing of his faith was still in progress and had already brought Isaac for an offering. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises was ready to sacrifice his own son. But you know the promise God had given Abraham, and by faith he knew as he went forward to sacrifice his own son that there would be a sacrifice in place of his son. Now, God will allow us to be tested. God will allow external testings to come. But a temptation, hear me, a temptation is that situation what comes to the inner man that would work itself out. So hear me, God never solicits or coerces his children towards evil. Understand that. God never puts in our heart an inner temptation that would draw us to sin and to evil. God might prove us. God may put us in a position in external testings to be proven, but God himself never puts a temptation in front of us. He doesn't take that initiative because God is the one who delivers us from temptation. The Bible tells us there's no temptation overtaking you that is not common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. But with that temptation, What? He provides a way of escape, so it's not God who brings that to you. But prepare your attitude to handle the pressures of life. Number two, to handle pressures, you need to provide for latitude. You don't restrict your thinking. You got to prepare yourself for these pressures. Understand, the Bible says you will face testings and encounter all kinds of trials. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you trip on something. It carries with it the idea of surrounding. All of a sudden, you're surrounded with different trials. So what is being said here is that you need to provide for latitude in life to include trials, testings, and pressures, and troubles. I want you to know, we all have them. All of a sudden, you're going to wake up in life and find out that you've been encircled by various testings and trials and pressures. James 1:3, listen to this in the Amplified. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. The New International Version in that passage, James 1:3, says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The word endurance in the Amplified means to bear up under, to stand under. Literally, it comes from the word abide, to abide under. Let me ask you, are you bearing up under something and enduring? What is the most difficult problem you're facing right now? Stop and think about in your life. What situation, what crises, what problem or trouble are you facing? James says, consider, look forward with joy that you will come into many kinds of testings, but God through these will prove you. So the word says to endure, to be patient, persevere, and abide under these kinds of pressures. Now I got another thought I want to bring to you. John 15, verse 4. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you, just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Jesus said, abide in me. There's abiding in John 15 chapter that Jesus is talking about. The branch must abide in the vine because it's through the vine that we receive strength in order to abide. And abide means to settle down with peace and tranquility. So there comes a time when you must prepare your mind to just sort of level off and look at some things and say, in my lifetime, it may mean that I have to go under some of these pressures and problems. Everyone faces them. Financial pressures, physical pressures, domestic pressures, vocational pressures, unique pressures of your personal life, your home life, whatever it may be, persecution pressures, all manner of evil against you type of pressure. But we see the Bible tells us, and let me emphasize again, to bear up, abide under these circumstances, and abide under that pressure. Consider it joy, because God is allowing this to happen to you so that you will be the person, the kind of person that he wants you to be. So we need to prepare for it. So sometimes we never prepare for things like that, and all of a sudden we come in, throw our hands, cry buckets of tears, we run to the pastor, or we run to a counselor, or we run to a friend. What am I going to do? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that at times, because people can lift you up and pray for you, but you haven't looked in the Word, and you haven't said, or you haven't heard what God is saying to you. Therefore, your faith and trust is not in what God wants for you through that pressure situation. You will go through these times that you need to look up and provide for the latitude that you are going to face some trials and problems and pressures. So let's look at number three. To handle pressure, you need to perceive the purpose. To handle pressure, you need to perceive the purpose. In looking at James 1:3 again, the different translations bring out knowing the testings of your faith produces patience, endurance, perseverance. In other words, you're going to begin to experience this test because God is developing in you the ability to abide in this adversity and to overcome, because he has something special he was preparing for you. Sometimes we don't realize Why is God allowing this? He wants to make you strong. You know, employers sometimes employ people of leadership to work with them. And so what do? They get references from their former employer, and they talk to them about how they've handled situations, and sometimes an employer will put them in a situation to see how they will stand up under pressure and put them in a work situation to see if they're capable of handling that under that pressure. I recall an employer that when he hired a secretary, he would make them sit down in front of the computer, put a letter in front of them, and say, "Now type." And he would stand right there over them. And that's pressure, to see how accurate they were, how fast they could type, how they handled that pressure in that situation. The scripture says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. James 1:4 in the Amplified says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do their work. So what it is, it's surrender. Just surrender. You're under it, but you got to surrender in that situation and say, all right, Lord, it's yours. I can't do anything about it. I got to look beyond this problem to what you have in store for me, so I commit myself to you. And until you remove it, Lord, I'm going to have victory in it. Until you deliver me. It's like Job. My, when I read of his life and how God allowed Satan to come to him, and Satan took away his family, his livestock, his wealth. And you know what? We read in Job 23, verse 10, Job said, but he knows where I'm going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. Now, Job could have looked at the circumstance, wrung his hands, thrown in the towel, laid in, down and died, and gave up like his counselors were trying to tell him what to do. And when no one else had a word for him, Job said, God knows the way. In essence, Job is saying, I'm going to think forward beyond my circumstance. I know that God has allowed this for a reason, and I'm going to come out as pure as gold, because Job had put his hope and trust in the Lord, and he said, though he slay me, what? I will trust him. That's the bottom line. So you need to prepare for testings, and you do that preparing your attitude, provide for latitude, and perceive the purpose, so the test is to be given, and it will come. Now, James 1 verse 4 in the last part says this, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So that pressure that comes in our lives is to perfect us. See, we perceive the purpose. It's to perfect us. And every man of God in the Old Testament had to be perfected. They had to stand up in a situation and circumstance they had to go through. You know, for 25 years, God tested Abraham before he turned him loose. And in the life of Joseph, it was 13 years of adversity, prison, and etc. in Egypt before his vision and what he had dreamed as a kid was fulfilled, and he became a ruler in Egypt to help save the children of Israel. But look at Moses. God allowed him 80 years of testings before he gave him 40 years of leadership. And my, he sure needed that. When the children of Israel got through the Red Sea, my, and started through that desert, they sinned, they complained, they murmured. Wow, did Moses ever have his hands full? But God had proven him and brought him through testings, so he was ready for the leadership. So I want you to perceive the purpose. Whatever you're going through right now, the evil world in which we live in, the society which we're a part of, may have thrust this upon you. But the Lord again is saying, look beyond and look to me. Let me prove you and help you, because you may need it down the road, even a greater pressure, but because you've trusted me, because you know who I am and believe and trust in me and my word, you're going to be strong in me and the power of my might, and you're going to make it through that situation that right now has you bound, that right now imprisons you. What you need to do is lift up your head and realize that God cares about you individually, what you're going through, and he's no respecter of persons. He's there for you. What he's trying to do is mold you. He's trying to make you solid through and through. That reminds me, see some of you ladies, you had guests coming. And they were getting seated and, oh man, you forgot to put the rolls in the oven like you wanted to. So you stuff them in the oven and you wait for a while and you look, no, they're not quite done. So you come back a little later, oh, they're getting brown on top. Oh, man, that's good enough. So you take them out carefully, and you put them in a basket and make it look so nice and everything else. One of the guests takes butter, and he puts it on it and bites into it. It's like soft bubble gum. And so you take a bite, and you go, oh, no, I didn't leave them in the oven long enough. They're not complete. They didn't stay in the heat long enough. Now hear me, there's a lot of Christians God's wanted to use down through the years. He had a plan and he had a purpose for them. But when the pressures were on, when the heat came, they did not stay under it long enough to be complete and solid like God wanted them to do. So when other pressures came, they caved in and gave in because they hadn't let God prove them and perfect him like he wanted to. So God is saying to all of us, I want you to be done in the middle. I want you to be solid through and through. And therefore, I have allowed these things to happen to you. Amen? Now listen to James 1, verse 4. But you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything. Now again, remember, Matthew 5 verse 12 says, when you go through persecutions and false accusation, etc., etc., rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Troy. Troy was a football player that had great ability and great talent. And when it was August and September, the coach had him in training and preparing them for the first game in the fall. And the coach, what he would do, he'd turn it over to a couple of his boys, and they would lead them in calisthenics and running laps around the field. But Troy, with all this ability and talent, he would bring an apple. And when the coach would leave, he'd go sit down, chew on the apple, while the other guys were going through all the exercises and running around the course. And he would try to get his friends, come on, you don't need to do this. But everybody else went through the training, stayed true. But when the coach would come back, he'd get in and go through the motions, you know, and try to impress the coach. He was good, man, out in the football field throwing the ball. He was a good football player, one of the stars. But the coach came to them a number of days before the first game and said, you know what? Tomorrow night, we're going to go through all the exercises, run a number of laps around the field, and only those that make it through all these calisthenics and the exercises and the running are going to go on this trip. Now, there are a lot of guys on that high school team that didn't have the talent and didn't have the ability that Troy did, but they were faithful. They did all of the things the coach wanted them to do. So the day came when the coach said, okay, here we go. And he put them all through the exercises and everything. Went back to the locker room. They sat down. He says, all right, I'm going to call all the names of those that are going. Troy noticed his name was not called. So he went up to the coach and said, coach, why wasn't my name called? Sadly, the coach looked at Troy and said, because Troy, You could not take the pressure or the heat. You did not make it. You didn't run all your laps. You couldn't do all the calisthenics. Therefore, you cannot go. What was the difference? It wasn't that Troy didn't have the talent. The problem was he didn't bear up under the pressure, the test, the trial, under the discipline. And when the day of selection came, he was lacking. He had ability, all kinds of ability, but he's lacking in discipline and training. I want you to know that's what the Lord is saying to us. The day is going to come, friend, when you need these pressures and tests and troubles you've been going through, because it's going to prove you. And I want you to be solid. I want you to be through and through, not lacking anything. I want you to be strong in me, in the power of my might, and ready for anything. So consider it joy when your world seems to be falling apart, and believe God, he's going to take you through. Someone may be saying, I'm praying for patience. Be careful, because that's how the Lord develops patience. It's through trials and testings. So persevere. It's important. Number four, to handle the pressures, we need to pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. What kind of wisdom? When something happens, your world falls apart, you say, Lord, I don't understand. Let's have a talk, because I need you. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. And that word ask means ask, keep on asking, interceding, keep on interceding, and stay before God. Now notice that it is God who has the answer, and it's God's nature to give you the answer. You don't need to wring your hands in despair. When you say, Lord, I need your wisdom, I'm waiting for your answer, the Lord is there. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He hears your sincere cry, and he will be there. So you ponder the prescription to seek wisdom. The next part is, in the prescription, is to exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. James 1:6, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. So what is he talking about here when he talks about not doubting? The word not doubting means the ability to separate, the ability to look and look beyond the circumstance and not be divided. Because we see in James 1:8 these words, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So, when you begin to pray, faith is the answer. Faith is looking beyond the probability, and it sees the possibilities, knowing that nothing is impossible with God. So you say, God, I'm focusing my mind on you and my prayer upon you. I'm not going to waver. I know who you are. You are the answer. And what you're doing is developing your faith. You're not a double-souled individual. You're not a dual-souled individual. A dual-souled individual is one that is listening to the physical world and then partly listening to the Word of God and maybe the Holy Spirit. But you're never sure, so you're pulled under. What does James 1:6 say in the last part? For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out of the sea that is blowing hither and thither and tossed by the wind. And God says when we ask, we should ask in faith, separating the possibility, separating the impossible, and looking to faith in God and focusing your attention on him, because he's the one that's going to see you through no matter what. A lot of Christians that have a pity party, they call people over and they agonize and cry and sympathize and agonize, but you know what? They're not looking in the Word. They're not trusting God. They're not relying on the Holy Spirit. So what we need to do is seek his wisdom and by faith go to him when we face these problems, because I want you to know God never can minister through us until he ministers in us and to us. God could never minister through us until he ministers to us and through us. So, when you go under these pressures, abide. Now, again, this is what Jesus went through. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So we face all kinds of difficulties and pressures in our life. Sometimes we don't understand. But you know what? God is there to help us, enable us to take a hold on him through that pressure. Now, in closing, let me say this. There are the pressures of sin that come into people's lives. The pressure of guilt and not knowing how to handle it. And Jesus is saying, I want to forgive you. I want to set you free. And you can be saved and rejoice in God Almighty. Because there is a happiness knowing that you can overcome. But the thing is, friends, we need to realize the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. Because in the life we live through the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for us. It's Christ in us. That's our hope. And God is well able to take care of you no matter what you have faced in the past or facing in the future. And you might say, Pastor Lee, you don't know what I'm facing. God does. And he's one that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you alone. So remember, whatever that pressure, God is there to help you through it. I'm asking the praise team to come forward. And while they come forward, let me read to you 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Listen to this. So be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure just a few trials. Oh no, many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And 1 Peter 1, verse 6 in the Living Bible says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Amen? That's the hope we have. One of these days, we're going to be in glory, beyond pain, suffering, trials, persecution. Forever with our Lord and Savior, it's going to be worth it all. Amen? Amen. Amen. He is a very present help in the time of need. I've talked about my dad in the past, this big man that loved God. But I remember, he only lived to be 47, but I remember when I was 12 years old. And we lived in Rathdrum, Idaho. He was a town marshal. And he became very ill. The doctor says you have rheumatic fever. He lay in bed for a number of months, and I remember going by his bedside and praying with him. And he would say, son, God's going to bring us through this. We're going to come out the other side. My dad had faith and trust in God. And that legacy was passed down to all of his kids, and all of us, seven of his children, are serving the Lord today because of that legacy. Because believe me, I'm not going to go into, my dad faced a lot of troubles, a lot of pressure in his life. We didn't know where the next meal was coming during that time. We didn't know what was going to happen, but God somehow provided for us through all that pressure and trouble. And God knows what you're facing today. And he knows where you are. You may be here and you're the one that caused that pressure. Or maybe you've been rebellious and not serving God like you should. Or you haven't allowed God to really get a hold of your life and surrender your life to God. So God is speaking to you today. Because he has a plan and he has a purpose for you. Each and every one of you. And he wants you to live in victory above the cares, above the trials, above the problems and pressures of life. That's the God we serve. And he loves you right where you are. He's a loving, gracious, forgiving God. And as we close in prayer, maybe you could just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm facing pressure in my life and problems. I need prayer. Just lift it up. Whoever you are, yes, that's it. I see your hands. God sees those hands. God knows what you face. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word, knowing the encouragement that we can receive and gain wisdom. Lord, as we ponder the prescription, it is wisdom. It is looking to you, by faith, believing that you have an answer for us, regardless of what it is, that situation. So I pray for each and every person here today. May they sense the power of the Holy Spirit. May they allow you to take control of their life, I pray. Each and every one of us, controlled by the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God, as we go from this place, giving us wisdom, giving us creative thinking to cope with each situation, each problem, each pressure. I pray in the name of Jesus, may this be a great week in you, I pray, because we have confidence that you're able, well able, to take us through. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.